What I'm surprised is I think there's a kind of intellectual paralysis really when it comes to policy making and actually the way these issues are reported, especially with kind of people who back progressive movements. They've always put kind of artists and creators' rights first. And I remember, you know, I went to a debate at the LSE last week, and I was thinking, if we were here 50 years ago, or even, you know, in William Morris's time, everyone would have been thinking of little ways, little tricks to give artists some money. And yet the whole point of that debate was to find ways of robbing artists from ways of making money. And this is quite a big change for the left, isn't it? I mean, how has that happened?
Well, it's misuse of the word freedom, isn't it, as ever. You know, when you've got George Bush throwing words around, like freedom, you know, what then becomes free, or feels free, is sometimes an inversion of what it should be. You know, it's not a matter of everybody making millions. It's a matter of people being able to use the internet to help them make a living, and you know, be able to be in a position to make a living from doing what they always dreamed of doing, being, you know, expressing themselves through some form of creative art, and being able to make a living from that and not being ripped off.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is, as someone who's been able to do that, who's been very, very lucky to be able to do that for 25 years, I don't want, you know, a level that hasn't needed me to play Wembley Stadium or sell a million records. I do very nicely, thank you, you know, putting out a record every few years and gigging and take, you know, finding new opportunities to get my ideas across.
Yeah.
I would like to see more and more people be able to do that, more and more people to have access to that. But in order to do that, they do need to you know, have a number of revenue streams, and the internet has the potential to not only offer a revenue stream, but to do it without forming the gatekeepers that the old companies used to buy. You know, I mean, you know, the number of record companies who wouldn't really not even think about putting someone like me on, you know, playing my records, have my records made. You know, I've been very fortunate in the companies that I've worked with. They've always been really supportive. Even in America, when I was on Elektra Records, you know, they were very, very supportive. They had a singer-songwriter tradition there, and I fitted into it, and they were really pleased to put my records out, even when I gave them shit like England Half English, which they just didn't understand. They were still willing to back out because they felt the arguments that I was making were important. So, you know, for people who want to do something a little different, then I think the internet has a lot of potential. But we need to establish this idea that you know, that where we do come into contact with big business, we are getting some sort of reward for our contribution to their business, because that's what we're doing. That's what we do when we're played on the radio. You know, we're helping draw an audience and draw advertising for the radio station, for the commercial radio station, and they recognise that in the form of royalty payments. And I don't think the social networking sites are that different.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of what's happening, obviously they're different in the way they work, but in terms of what's happening, the basic business model is the same. And it's no at the moment, what's happening is the big business and the startups and the punters are all looking the other way, pretending they, you know, well, we can download it for free now because we can, and that's why we're going to do it. You know, well, yeah, I could bust in your house while you're at work and nick all your stuff, but I would, you know, there's no point in me when you come back saying, well, I can do it because I can do it. You know, that's not it's law. That's no protection. So there is an issue to be made here. I just think we're looking at the wrong end of the process by focusing constantly on the user rather than on business itself. I never bought that home taping is killing music shit in the 1980s that the record companies tried to lay on us. In fact, I printed on the front of my fourth album in response to that is capitalism is killing music, and that's what's happening now. You know, the big powerful startups are blithely following the consumer's argument that they shouldn't have to pay for this stuff.
When there's less money to go around, I think power does concentrate at the top because they're the ones who can wield the
and when your potential audience is, you know, runs beyond anything a radio station could imagine, because you can can have 25 million members, and you can reach that, you know, that kind of demographic. So advertisers, particularly when you think about the age demographic of the sort of people who use social networking sites, of course, advertisers are going to salivate over that. But I think they have to be careful. I think people don't like, in their minds, when they download free music, I think the average punter is really thinking about he doesn't want to give money to a multinational corporation anymore.
Yeah.
If you can put an artist into that frame, I think if someone writes a song that breaks your heart,
yeah.
If someone writes a song you can't live without, someone writes a song that means more to you than the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
They're going to want that person to do more of that. You're going to want to go back there to that person and say, do that to me again.
Well, that's
and,
a thing.
And, you know, without support, without financial support, yeah. Artists won't be able to do that. So I think there is, you know, we do need to educate our audiences about making a contribution, but I really think the real problem is more at the business end rather than the user end.
Yeah, it's almost become a kind of proxy. Instead of, I mean, I said this to Pete earlier today, actually, we're being scammed left, right and centre by, say, OPEC, an energy cartel, or all these very real concentrations of power who are doing real, you know, really hurt your wallet.
Yeah.
But it's the music biz is the kind of proxy for it, so you get pummeled.
Yeah.
It's like all the rage gets directed at you guys.
Yeah, but we are trying to sustain our independence, and the internet gives us more opportunity to do that, to build a community that will listen to our music, and slowly that's been closed down because our revenue source has been cut off, from CDs and record shops, and from royalties for you know content provided and stuff like that. So. Mm. It's crucial that we establish this principle that, you know, content costs money. There are no free lunches and there is no free content. So this is not just the music industry. I know lots of journalists who have to do blogs that they don't get paid for.
That's true.
They get paid to write in the newspaper, but they're expected to blog for free.
Well, I mean, I think photojournalists have had it. Rough. I mean, they've really.
Funnily enough, you know, more photojournalists got in touch with me after that article than musicians. You know, anyway, I mean, people. I'm talking now about people I've never met who just came on my website, who read the Times piece, majority of them in America, and got in touch and said, "Really love what you've done." More people identified themselves as photojournalists and told me about the problems they're having than the musicians, and I thought that was very interesting. It's not about music; it's about content.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I keep coming back to content providers, because it is, you know, it's not the form of it, it's not the, you know, we musicians are a special case, blah. You know, this is purely about the provision of content, however it's done. And whilst, you know, I've no problem with the hobbyist blogger who, you know, who's got a day job but delights in, you know, holding a discussion, a forum, putting his or her thoughts out there. I think that's brilliant. You know, they're like the fanzine writers. They've got something to say and they've got a platform, and that's fine. And we need to recognise that sometimes they might want to use a piece of music or some content to a small audience. You don't go banging on fanzine writers about interviews and stuff like that. It's not a one-size-fits-all argument, but clearly at the top end, there's a lot of money being made. And at the moment, content providers are not getting their full due. I mean, it's starting to move a little bit with this. There's a new online license, isn't there? The Music Alliance of. With YouTube.
That's right, yeah. MCP.
I'm not sure exactly the scope of it, whether it's just about downloads or whether it's just about, when you actually get something off the internet, or whether it's actually about what's up there and how that works. But
I heard they've invested a lot in a flexible, very flexible model, so you can apply it to lots of things, because it has been a kind of one-price industry so far.
You know, you get different money if you get played at a local radio station or a national radio station. It's two different rates.
Yeah.
You know, that has to be recognised. The hobbyists have to be you know, encouraged to draw, because you want a diverse, you know, diverse forums to sprout on there. You know, you don't want to get a situation where people are demanding a payment just for, you know, responding in comments to someone's posted blog. You know, that's ridiculous. That destroys the spirit of the internet.
Well, you can't actually go. You can't, even if you wanted to, you couldn't afford to go after.
It'd be such a fraction anyway of a fraction of whatever, you know, income they've got. So that, yeah, but on the bigger sites, on the you know, on the sites that have global reach and the sites that are drawing in, like MySpace drawing in Hollywood, then there is a case to be made, I think. For, I mean, you know, this has always happened. You know, when they invented the player piano, they had to go through a period of people saying, well, we don't have to pay for that because we're not employing anybody.
Right.
You know, and they had to sort of work through the arguments that actually the player piano was still doing the job and it was still drawing people. In the end, it wasn't the player, it was the piano that was making a difference.
That's right.
You know, yeah. And so although you didn't have to pay a geezer a day rate, you did have to pay something for using those particular popular songs to entertain your audience.
Yeah, so I mean, we're running out of time. Just two quick points.
Sure.
Every day, I'm sorry. No, that's all right. It's great. Every day, I get probably a couple of emails, and there will be probably comments at the Reg. Why can't these artists just play live? And it will be, well, can't you just play live? In other words, give up the sound recording.
That's right.
yeah. Well, that's not phrased quite like that.
You can play live, but you really in order to. To break out of where you are, you really need to get recorded music out there. Just as an example, in my career, I could get gigs with the people I had personal contact with for the first year, and I did mostly gigs in East London. I couldn't get any gigs in the West End. I didn't know anybody, so it was all reliant on who you knew. But then John Peel played my session, and suddenly I started getting requests to play outside of London because people had heard my recorded music on Peel. So that made a difference. Likewise, you know, some kid in you know, New Jersey or somewhere reads about me in the NME because John Peel has played my session, so the NME writes about me. And then he's able to go and buy my record or order my record. You know, without that, it makes it a lot harder. Everything just becomes, you just become regional. It's very hard to break out nationally from that. So we rely on recorded music to spread the word, you know. And MySpace didn't build itself on live concerts, did it?
Yeah.
You know, Bebo didn't sell a community of people who are going to live gigs. Live gigs is part of what we do. To me, it's a very important part of what we do. But A, not everybody can do it, and B, you end up kind of, you know, without recordings to go ahead of you and spread the word, you end up never getting to that stage where you get to, you know, the stage we all of us crave is where we give up our fucking day job that we fucking hate.
Well, that's right. It just has to turn it into
that we really love and make a living. That's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
And by cutting the legs off of recorded music, you are condemning the next generation of musicians to never really give up their day job.
Mm.
And what will happen is the music that will be widely popular will be the stuff that's coming from the corporations. It'll be Hannah Montana, you know, who I can assure you was focus grouped to death before her TV series was launched, on the back of which came a concert performances. So, you know, that's what will happen. We'll be spoon-fed corporate stars that are designed to appeal to a mass audience. And someone who's a bit quirky, and when I say a bit quirky, I mean like Radiohead.
Yeah.
We'll never get out of Oxford.
Yeah, it does seem like it's it's if the sound recording right goes, two things happen. It turns into a charity. And secondly, that kind of chain back to the creator has been broken, which just seems like
fair enough. If it suddenly recorded music became valueless, the problem is it's becoming has no cost attached to it. anymore, because you can just download it free.
Yeah.
But it still has value. Of course it has value. It's what drives MySpace.
Mm.
You know, it has incredible value to the new the new internet. And so the conundrum then becomes, how do you realize that value for the creators? Nobody's saying, you know, people, the people who are saying, you know, we can do this now because music is, the exchange of music has become free. That's what they're basically saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they're not saying the value of music has become zero. The exchange has become zero, but the value, they still recognize the value of live music. And our problem is to, as content providers, is to get the businesses that are using content to drive the building of community and then advertising. We need to get them to accept that, although, yeah, you can download this shit for free, but it's bringing a huge amount of value to your business.
Yeah,
and that's
got to
be rewarded.
I don't think people realise that more and more artists are owning their own recordings. So when they shoot at sound recording copyright, and they think they're shooting the man, it actually shoots the creator.
It is going to, I think, ultimately come down to artists to actually step forward and say, look, fair enough, the record industry sucks, a big one, and we in the years have been complicit with that, and we can't go back to the 1599 CD.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to make a living doing this, we want to continue doing this, and we need to be supported in doing this. Help us to convince this big business to cut us in. So that, you know, then in establishing that principle in our audiences, hopefully they'll think twice then about downloading our shit for free.
Yeah.
You know? Although, of course, we'll still be putting free shit up on our website for them to download, which is, you know, which has proved to be, you know, to be a way of reaching people.
Sure. Just finally to wrap up,
yeah.
I'm guessing you're not a big fan of Three Strikes.
No, I'm not at all.
Coercion,
no.
Yeah.
No, you know, peer-to-peer recommendation, I think, is crucial to building an audience.
Yeah.
You know, if people are, you know, particularly for someone like me who doesn't get on the radio all the time, doesn't much get on the telly, whose music is out there. You know, say some kid is, you know, listening to, you know, looking for music that says something more than just, I'm great, you're shit, you like my socks, to paraphrase Oasis. And they say, well, look, you know, my dad's got these records and I just ripped them tonight from his old vinyl collection. Check this guy out. Fucking hell, never heard of him. Where's he from? He says, it's Billy Bragg. Click, click, click. There he is, you know, and he's coming to play soon, and blah, you know. I think peer-to-peer recommendation is absolutely crucial. And that's why, and I think it's going to be one of the dynamic ways of building a career in the new, because it's so simple now, in the new medium, in the new internet. So I'm very, very much against that principle.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, isn't it? Because, I mean, often when people download something, it's simply there to sample it like a radio, on-demand radio station.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, is it any different from taping off the radio? Hmm. You know, I'm not sure that it is. And as someone who did a lot of that, you know, I mean, I used to tape Peel all the time. And 50% of the stuff I taped was shit. I couldn't listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, the other stuff was pretty good, but there was a core of really amazing stuff there that I would go out and seek. You know, Peel was a great peer-to-peer sort of communicator in that sense.
Sure, sure.
You
we paid for him out of our license fee, though. I mean,
exactly.
I used to as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we want the internet to be more like Peel and less like Anna Montana, then we've got to allow people who love music, who are enthusiastic about music, to infuse to one another and say, check this out.
Yeah, I still rely on radio more than anything else. But
now
you can get so many amazing stations.
You can. I mean, I listen to Six a lot and hear music on there that otherwise I would never. I'm 50 now, you know, no one would ever come up to me and say, you've got to hear, listen to the Weaker Lands. You know, it's only because I am on Six Music that I go and buy the record. So, you know, there's an element of that. If, you know, we're all aware of our viral promotion. if you can get a song of yours that people, you know, when I wrote that, the anti-war song, The Price of Oil, you know, it was downloaded 20,000 times from the website, and God knows how many times sent off there. I wish you could sell 20,000 records.
Right.
And that'd be fucking brilliant. Yeah. There were 20,000 kids there who'd never heard of Billy Bragg, and now associate him with the political music that opposes George Bush. That's, you know, that's my USP.
I think it's just I think there's such a almost a complete consensus that how to go forward, but it's just getting money into the system, and it's getting it so it's kind of most people are on it without being coerced as well. That's I think.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think one of the problems is we're none of us, you know, really understand the potential that this can go. It's still like a gold rush out there. Hmm. So consequently, the old copyright laws can't quite deal with it, and the even the terms and conditions. I mean, MySpace's terms and conditions, when I called them on it, weren't evil. They were just written by lawyers who didn't really know what a social networking site was, but who were concerned to cover their arse.
That's right.
You know, and it was only when we looked at it, the minutiae of it, that they were able to clarify it. Apart from saying you own the original material that you put on here, you own it while it's on here and you own it afterwards, they didn't really change the T's and C's at all. They just clarified more in parentheses, which is great, which is fine. Because you can, you know, once you know you're going to get your rights back, then it doesn't matter if for while you're on MySpace, you have to give them a worldwide royalty-free license.
Yeah. Okay, so are you optimistic that we'll be able to find revenue sources?
Well, the revenue's obviously there, isn't it? The money's there. The money's being made. Yeah. You know, people like Michael Birch and Rupert Murdoch are clearly making money. It's just a matter of of being able to establish the principle of paid content on and recognising and rewarding the contribution that content providers are making to these businesses. That's the principle we've really got to work on, and I think once we establish that, the ways and means will flow from that, and there'll probably be, you know, different ways of doing that, but I think we're still at the moment we're riding roughshod over this notion, and riding roughshod